chapter 6. In fact, while you're turning there, let me just read a couple verses. I'm in Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and pray for me, Paul writes, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're going to be together in that part of God's word here in just a moment. That's a remarkable prayer with a very personal and pointed application that I hope you and I will benefit from. I know we will. If you've been with us recently, we've been kind of thinking through some thoughts and some succinct statements about our purpose as a church to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a two-laned highway there. You'll notice those two words, more and better. And it's because Jesus said this, go and make disciples of all the nations. And so there is a call for us to make more disciples, not to be content with you, me, us three, and no more. And so making more disciples is a challenge that every church faces, and it's a purpose that we want to take at heart and do what God would have us to do that. He goes on in that same passage to say, baptize them. Don't just birth them, but baptize them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Those are familiar verses. But they remind us that not only more disciples, but better disciples are what God calls us as a church to pursue, better as well as more followers of Jesus Christ and disciples. And so it is a two-way street, sort of say, a two-lane highway, I should say. And as we clarify and simplify our purpose at People's Baptist Church, we want to remember that God wants us to be doing what it takes to bring the gospel to more people as often as we can and as purposefully and pointedly as we can, more evangelism. And better disciples, to take those like you this morning who are here, no doubt, because you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. You may, all of us are going to be on certain different levels of that, but we want to step forward and go higher and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We meant it when we sang, Jesus, keep us nearer the cross. We wanted to be influenced by and living out the life of Jesus Christ. And so our purpose is more and better. Better what? Well, disciples of Jesus Christ who serve others sacrificially. And we've been camping on that piece of that statement, serving others sacrificially. And that's because the Bible camps on the call to be servants and servant-hearters who also speak truth boldly. So we're going to turn the corner this morning, not just serving sacrificially, but what does God's word call us to do when it comes to speaking boldly the truth of God's word so that God may be glorified? So not only do we have a purpose of more and better disciples, but we have some priorities here at People's Baptist Church. First of all, to serve, to be the extension of God's grace wherever we may be, individually and corporately as a church. And on that same highway, hand in hand, as it were, fulfilling the fullness of the gospel, we are to speak God's truth. And I think the order is important. To serve often gives us an audience who is willing to hear. But then we better speak. God calls us to not only be kind and gracious, but to speak God's truth as well. Truth about sin, but hallelujah, truth about forgiveness for sinners. That's the priorities of any church, and ours in particular. So when we exhibit God's grace by serving others sacrificially, and when we affirm his truth by speaking boldly the things of God, we act and we sound a lot like Jesus when we do that. And that's our goal here. If you're fresh to church in general or People's Baptist Church in particular, that's our goal, just to be like Jesus Christ, to trust him and to follow him, to serve him and to speak for him in that sense. Why are we acting and sounding like Jesus Christ? Do you remember this verse right at the beginning of the Gospel of John? It's a Christmas passage, and he closes it with this, John does. When we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, that's the birth of Christ, full of grace and truth. And he goes three verses down the road and says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so it seems as though Jesus Christ was the embodiment of both those, perfectly balanced. And we as a church need to be full of not only grace and not only truth, but full of grace and truth. And it seems to me that when we serve others, we're gracious. And when we speak for him, we are boldly proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and what he's come to do and where we're headed when we follow him. So I like the fact that serving keeps my hands dirty and my heart tender. If you really want to become feeling a part of the body of Christ, start serving with the body of Christ. Start putting your hands to the plow, as it were. And it's amazing when you and I rub up against and bump up against a sin-sick world, how tender it can make us be. It can, on the one hand, make us jaundiced and skeptical and cynical and hard-hearted, but the more you serve people, the more tender and more dirty our hands get in the things of God. So serving keeps our hands and our hearts in the right place. Grace and compassion ought to gush through this church. God help us to do that. We've been talking a lot about that. Speaking keeps our words biblical and our goals eternal. And so we need both of that. Speaking God's word. The reason we take the time together to open the Bible, I hope you've got yours open, and hearing from God's word, singing songs of the Redeemer, is so that we know the truths about who God is and how we can be right with him and how we can help others come into that same relationship. Speaking keeps our words biblical and our goals eternal. Truth and conviction. And so I'm asking you to turn the corner, if you will, in your heart and your thoughts as you're thinking of God's word this day toward that word speaking the truth boldly. Speaking without serving, I just thought this through, and here's some thoughts that I hope will challenge you why we need both. Speaking without serving is like faith without works. You know what the Bible says about that, right? Faith without works is dead. There's a deadness to a church that is all about talking, but rarely, if ever, about doing. And so speaking without the doing is a lot like faith without works. It's like facts without feelings, so to speak. You know, it would have probably been easy for God to just, from heaven, drop little gospel tracts down from heaven upon the earth. He could renew it every once in a while, you know. And we would be able to just read all about God and praise God we can from his word, the Bible. But aren't you glad with me that God sent his son into the world to redeem the world so that we could not only hear from him, but we could hear and see in living color who God is, what he's like, how he cares for the lost, what makes him angry, what makes him joyful. And so the incarnation, the coming into the flesh of the Son of God himself reminds us that this gospel of ours, this path that we're to follow is not just to be thought about, but it's to be lived. It's to be wrapped in our own serving. Speaking without serving is impersonal when it's just that. It's like law with no grace. Speaking without serving is just institutional. And God keep us from just being an institution here, you know, just a place where a few times a week the lights come on, the sound goes up, and then we go away. Speaking without serving, that's what it can be like if we're not careful. But serving without ever speaking has its downsides too. And that's where we're headed now. God wants us to be speaking for him. Some of us are more comfortable with that than others. Some of us have got more experience in that than others. But you know what? All of us started somewhere. Doesn't mean that we're all going to end up in front of or behind a platform or a pulpit. Doesn't mean that we're all going to necessarily be signed up for Sunday school or teaching a class, but it does mean that we'll be looking and ready to just say what God has done for us on the basis of his word. Serving without ever speaking leaves people happier in the here and now. I mean, who doesn't want to get a free old home days game time? That made a lot of people happy, and I'm glad we could do that as a church. I'm so thankful that somewhere around this village are little backpacks with all supplies for kids that maybe couldn't have afforded it. That's good. I bet you families are happy about that. But serving without ever speaking leaves people happier in the here and now, but unaware of God and unprepared for eternity. Aren't you glad that Ruth Wobig heard the gospel and responded? It'll make all the difference in the world from making it a dirge this coming Thursday to making it a celebration. Because someone spoke and gave the word of God to her and she responded. I bet you they served her first. And yet they had to speak as well. So do you see where we're going? I'm asking us as a church not to leave the one to go to the other, but to, by God's grace like Jesus, be full of both grace and truth. And by God's Spirit, we must be that way. Otherwise, we are just humanitarian in our endeavors here. We're just another YMCA planning a lot of good things for families and friends. And there's some good things that happen at YMCA, but you can't go to heaven based on just swimming and lifting weights, right? And so serving without ever speaking, dangerous that we would ever go in that direction. So God help us to always be balanced. The Bible puts us this way. It's still at Ephesians 6, right? I'm coming there. Don't fret. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a simple reminder of our responsibility to call on the Lord and God's promise that he saves people. But it doesn't stay right there. It doesn't just print it out. Verse 14, Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And so the Apostle Paul is taking this wonderful statement, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and he's going back behind that. And here's a layer. Okay, if they call on the name of the Lord, how are they going to do that unless they believed? And how shall they believe unless they have not, if they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless somebody's talking, somebody's preaching? And don't take that word preacher to mean somebody that goes to a Bible college somewhere and gets a certificate or a title behind their name. It means just proclaiming what we know about Jesus Christ. How will they call if there's not somebody talking and speaking about the truths of God's word and who he is? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You want some good advice about making your feet look beautiful in God's eyes? Start speaking about him in natural, biblical, spirit-led times and ways. God says, oh, my child, you got some beautiful feet there. You're walking in the path of my son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul wraps up this Romans 10 with this reminder, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so our call, our purpose, our priorities are to both serve and to speak. Those together move us down the road, put us in the path of God's blessing to serve sacrificially and to speak. I'm going to use that word boldly. God help us in that. And so let's look at God's word here. When we serve others sacrificially, God calls us great. When we serve, God calls us great. Whoever desires to become great, Jesus said, let him be your servant. And when we speak truth boldly, God's word says we are in great company. Look at these men of the faith in these verses. But look, John chapter 7, verse 26, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do they, rulers, know indeed that this truly is the Christ? One of the qualities, one of the characteristics of Jesus was this, that he spoke and that he spoke boldly. Look at this one, Acts 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. That idea of being uneducated and untrained doesn't mean that they were dunces, that they were just dropouts from a synagogue school. It means that they hadn't had the proper pedigree in the eyes of all the establishment. They hadn't gone through the proper channels, and so they were amazed that these guys could actually take the Bible and understand it. How can they do that? We didn't teach them, they're thinking. Well, they spoke boldly because they were Spirit-taught. Here's another one. Barnabas took Paul to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken, that his God had spoken to him, and how he, that is Paul, had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So we got Jesus, we got Peter, we got John, we got the Apostle Paul. All of them are noted for their speaking, and not just speaking in any ways, but speaking in bold terms. And now here we come to that passage. You got it? It's going to go quick, so hang on. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Listen, if you will, to the apostles' prayer request in these four verses. And take the sword of the Spirit, he writes and says in verse 17, which is the word of God. And let's just pause there just a second. The sword, by the way, is a word that could be translated scalpel. It's not a meat cleaver. It's not a claymore, a double-handed sword. It's a simple sword. It's a smaller weapon. It's a precise instrument. And so when Paul, the apostle, picked out the words by the Spirit of God, he said, take the scalpel, if you will. Take the sword of the Spirit. Get a handle on God's word in precise ways. Don't just get in the habit of saying, oh, the Bible says somewhere. Learn to speak and arm ourselves with precise portions of God's word. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And by the way, the word there refers to a specific, not a general statement. So Paul is reminding all of us of the need to speak the word of God, but to do it with some precision. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God handled delicately, handled wisely, handled boldly, that has the power to it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it says, praying always for all the saints. That's a great pattern of any church, if we're going to go forward, to ask God, God, what do you say? What do you think? What should we do? When should we do it? And individually the same. If we're going to serve God, let's ask him to lead us where and when. If we're going to speak for him, let's ask in prayer that God would help us, praying always for all the saints. And then look at the turn that Paul takes. I think it's in verse number 19. You see it there? And pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains for that gospel, and in it I may, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, just look at your copy of God's word or the screen there. Pray for me, Paul writes. Any leader, any servant worth their salt knows the desperate need we have of God's power, God's help, God's guiding. And so Paul, can you imagine this great man says, oh, church at Ephesus, pray for me. Pray for me that I may have boldness. And we might think, Paul, if anybody doesn't need help, Paul, it's you. 2 Corinthians 11, I'll not read it to you, but it's the passage where Paul tells his background resume of trials that he's gone through, out in the ocean, left for dead, beaten by strangers, left in no food or clothing, and on he goes, all for the gospel's sake. Paul, tell me it isn't so. You need help? And Paul would say, that's exactly why I need help. Look at what God has caused me and allowed me and made me go through for his sake. Oh, pray for me, Paul says, pray for me. And don't just pray anything. Pray that utterance may be given to me. And that word utterance means just to speak up, to say the right topic, the right words, to have the mental facility to put together, to string together biblical and truthful and clear and simple statements about who God is from his word. Paul says, oh, please pray for me that I'd be able to speak well, to utter things properly, that would be given to me. It's not something I can gin up or work up on my own. pray for me that I may open my mouth. Frankly, that's where sometimes I need the most prayer, that God would help me not to be closed mouth, that I will speak for him. I, for one, am very much more comfortable serving people than speaking to people about things that may not be comfortable in the moment, that they may not see clearly or understand, that may in first blush sound harsh or hard. Are you the same way? Serving, sign me up. Speaking, And so I'm encouraged that Paul himself says, oh, please pray for me that I will open my mouth, that I will know when to and how often and how long to open my mouth. Not just with anything in that mouth, but to make known the mystery that God has given. This is the why of speaking. Paul says, oh, pray that I'd open my mouth to make known the mysteries, to clarify what is yet unclear, to reveal what is yet unseen. And the Spirit of God wants to use his people of God to open the door in simple ways, to turn the light on, to raise the shades up so that the light of the glorious gospel can shine in. We must serve, but we must ask God to open our mouths to make known some things, to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, it says there in verse number 19, the good news. That's what gospel means, the good news. That makes it easier to talk with people when you realize this is good news. And yet sometimes it doesn't feel like it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's good news. That whoever believes in him will not perish. That is great news. But have everlasting life. That is eternally consequential good news. And so open my mouth that I may proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, the good news. The good news of Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you, for me. Romans 6:23, the good news that the wages of sin are death. And that may be the very calling card to talking to somebody. You see that things are dying around them, but that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. There's a gift already purchased with our names on it, ready to be opened. Oh, God's forgiveness removes my sin. That's good news as far as the east is from the west. That's good news. God's forgiveness gets past my sin. That's good news. You have cast all my sins behind your back, God. That's good news. God's forgiveness erases my sin. I am he who blots out your transgressions. In a world where people keep track of all the dirt and all the baggage and all the little things that are there, God says, when you come to me and confess it and forsake it, I throw it away. I blot it out. That's good news. And Paul says, pray for me that I'd open my mouth to talk about those things. God's forgiveness stops recalling my sin. I will forgive their iniquity, God says in Jeremiah 31, and their sins I will remember no more. An omniscient God chooses not to bring that up again against us. Satan loves us, the accuser of the brethren, to try to stir that up, but it's a dead issue. It's gone, not to be recalled. God's forgiveness buries my sin where it can't be found. And he describes that in these words, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. That's a deep spot. That's a long way from finding. And lastly, God's forgiveness attaches my sin to the cross of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, and you who were dead in trespasses, God made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our sins by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Paul says, pray for me that I'd be able to speak with boldness the mystery, the uncovered, unclear things about that wonderful forgiveness. So that if I confess with my mouth the Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, didn't leave him on the cross, he paid for the sins there, he was buried, but he rose again. When I trust in that risen Savior, I will be saved. And you will be too. And those who we serve and then speak to can be too. I don't want to be a part of release time. I don't want to be a part of Awana. I don't want to be part of anything if there's no hope beyond just today. But if there's eternity to be gained and sin to be forgiven, count me in. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. I can be right with God. and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. I can be redeemed and saved, and you can too, pulled from the pit of sin. So Paul says, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of that gospel, for which I am an ambassador. Ooh, that sounds impressive. That sounds official. Ambassador is someone who speaks and acts with all the authority of another person. And the amazing thought is that God, in all of his holiness, his glory, has entrusted his name and his gospel to the likes of you and me. We are his ambassadors. We can stand in front of people and say, thus saith the King, thus says the Lord, thus says the Savior. We are ambassadors. Paul said, I'm that way. I speak with authority. I communicate the official position on any topic from God's word. Not that we are a pope and we throw down God's will and God's word. No, but we have the chance to point people to the very words of God. Can you do that? Sure you can. God will help us. Paul says, pray for me that I would. An ambassador? Ooh, I liked the ambassador part. Did you? Yeah, get an office somewhere and a jet maybe to fly around. But an ambassador in chains. And we stop and we pause and say, Paul, what do you mean? Well, he means this, that there's a cost to speaking. And in the culture in which we live, and as the temperature and the correctness and the policies of this world change and shift, when there's an unchanging word of God's grace and forgiveness and of holiness and of sin, it can result in conflict. People don't like that. Results maybe even, as Paul, in chains. The consequences of opening my mouth and saying this is what God says are not always a walk in the park. And so here we are as a church saying, God, what's our purpose? Our purpose is to make more and better disciples. And what are the priorities? Well, we better serve them. That makes us great in your eyes, and we better speak for you. But it might cost something. And God will winnow out what he needs to, but that ought to be our purpose. God will help us. God will strengthen us. We'll fall off the bandwagon sometimes and not speak well. And other times, God will help us to speak beyond our ability or anything that we could have come up with. He'll use you and me. He will. And it may cost us something. It'll seem small in eternity, but right now it would hurt. An ambassador in chains, help me to speak as I ought to speak, saying what is fitting in each situation. Very frankly, that's part of why some of us, sometimes I, don't want to talk. Lord, does it fit now? I wish there was a one-size-fits-all, you know, that you could just have this prefab plan and just go out and do it. And some people do it that way, just cha-ching, cha-ching, there, I got that checked off. Paul says, help me to speak, yes, but to do it as I ought to. Right timing, right length, right intensity. And again, the complexity of that sometimes makes us, as speakers, potential speakers, say, oh, count me out. I can't gauge whether I ought to speak or not. I like what Paul said in these verses, and you've heard them if you've been around recently. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. In other words, I got to figure out what this person thinks and how they act and react. To those who are under the law, I became as under the law, that I might win those that are under the law. I better figure out those who are very legalistic and what that means and looks like and how to avoid, if possible, offending with me, though the message may offend. Paul writes in verse 21, to those who are without law, I live as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. Why? So that I might win those who are without law. This is Paul explaining what it means to speak as I ought. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He says in closing, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. There's something that's shared in that fellowship of the gospel, the speaking as we ought. So here on this day, may God help you and me to clarify the purposes and to simplify what we're about. We're at least about this at the heart. We're about more disciples evangelizing. We're about better disciples, discipleship. And we're about these priorities, serving God's grace in various ways, but also speaking God's truth as we ought, so that the gospel is heard. How can they call if they've not heard? God, help us as a church to grow in both of these lanes of traffic as we head toward eternity and want to take others along with us to heaven as we go. Did you notice our repeated prayer requests in those verses? Open my mouth boldly. Help me speak boldly as I ought. When we add speaking to our serving, we too will need clarity and boldness. And I invite you back next Sunday as we talk particularly about the boldness of speaking and the truth that is required in the midst of that. And if you want a little sneak preview, in your bulletin was a little insert, and the small group that I lead this evening at 6 o'clock over here in the annex is going to be all about Acts chapter 4, where there's a illustration of what it looks like and what God blesses when people will be bold for him. You could do that on your own if you're choosing to be at another spot tonight at 6. God help us then to serve him in a balanced and a priority way. Let me pray. Thank you for your good attention. I feel like it's been almost like a class setting today, but we're ready to break the huddle now, and we're going to get up, and we're going to move out to serve and speak. Can you do that? Let's start by standing, and let me talk to the Lord on our behalf. Father in heaven, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We've celebrated and remembered him here with the Lord's Supper and the songs we've sung. You said, Paul did in that passage, we as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we show the Lord's death till he comes. In some ways, we've spoken just by our actions here that we who are sinners have known the Savior, have taken his blood and have benefited from his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you that we've been able to remember that. So now as we go forth, help us to serve out of love for this one, you, Jesus, who loved us before we ever loved you, who saved us while we were yet sinners. We could never get over the amazing grace that is ours. Help us now to be able to speak the truth, to live it as well as to speak it as we go forward. Thank you that the Word of God is sharp, like a scalpel, that it'll do the work that needs to be done. We just need your help to speak when we ought. So I pray that for me. I pray that for each one here today who knows you, and maybe there are some who have not yet come to you. I pray that our church and that the speaking and the living of your truth will be winsome, will be attractive, will be a tool that you can use so that some who may not know you yet will very soon turn from sin to the Savior, in whose name we serve and speak. Amen.